Ah, so my dad's interesting. He was born and bred in New Zealand on a dairy farm. And once he grew up, he trained as a diesel fitter and became an engineer in the Maritime Navy. So he was on the Waihine, which is a passenger vehicle ferry in New Zealand that sunk in 1968. It was the worst modern maritime tragedy ever recorded, and over 50 people died. So he was a survivor of that.
Did he ever talk about that with you?
Yeah, he did. He had a funny story about how we got out of the ship because, being in the engine room, they were required to keep the engines running for as long as possible to keep the ship afloat to enable as many people as possible to get off the ship. But it had listed to such a degree that the exit was actually kind of on the roof. So they had to form a human chain and crawl over each other to reach the door. And then the last person would crawl over everybody to get out. And that's how they got out.
That must have been terrifying.
Yeah. And for a man who couldn't swim, he got up to the top of the ship. And of course, all of the lifeboats had gone. And the last one was in the water. And he came across an elderly lady who was wrapped around the handrails, and she was petrified and wouldn't jump in the life raft. So he would say he doesn't know how many fingers he broke, but he basically peeled her off and threw her over. There were horrific stories of a mum who was in a life raft and her baby was still on the ship and got thrown over, and of course a massive wave came along and shifted the boat and the baby didn't land in the boat. Bodies washing up on the shores, and yeah, it was pretty horrific. And of course, television had not long made it to New Zealand, and it was broadcast all over the world. And yeah, it was a huge tragedy.
Do you think that that was an element of trauma for your dad?
My dad's a very self-contained, pragmatic man. I think the only level of trauma that it really gave him was that he came to Alice Springs to get as far away from the water as he could. So that's how he ended up in Alice Springs. He applied for a job at Maryvale as a diesel mechanic, and that's how he got here.
Do you think that was a direct correlation? He did want to get away from the water?
Yeah, I mean, I think he used to say it as a joke, but yeah, I think we all have an element in our subconscious that directs our path in life, and potentially that's, yeah, what got him this far.
So how did he meet your mum?
Ah, so this is the Central Australian version of the knight in shining armour. So my mum was quite adventurous, and she had, as I mentioned, the Land Rover, and she spent a lot of her free time out camping and four-wheel driving. And she got bogged in the river.
Which river?
Well, the Finke, yeah. And of course, my dad was doing whatever he was doing around Maryvale and came upon her and her friend bogged in the river and rescued them.
And then what happened? This is the premise for a screenplay, isn't it?
It is. It's very Australian, quintessential. So my mum was in town and he was out bush, and love at a distance can be tricky. So he would often come into town, and I'm not sure exactly, but I suspect he came into town one too many times when he should have been at work. And yeah, perhaps never quite
left.
There's a sense of a romanticised version of how they met and how they fell in love. Is that how you felt about Central Australia when you were growing up here?
Yeah, I think so. Certainly the sense of adventure, that definitely came from my dad. Every time we spent a lot of time out bush driving, camping, and the thing I'll always remember is it didn't matter where we were going, there's always tracks leading everywhere. And Dad would say, "I wonder what's down that road," and off we'd go. So a lot of our childhood was being adventurous, and I think it gave me a sense of wonder that I still have as an adult that I try and impart to my children. That I'm the crazy person who stops because there's a rainbow. Oh, look, kids, look, it never gets old.
Did you ever get lost with your dad?
Yes. So the very first time we went out into the Simpson Desert, which we did many times, but we went on our own the first time. My dad had done a lot of research, and he's a very clever man, and he's able to get you out of any situation. But the maps back then were perhaps not quite as good as our GPS is now. And I remember we had to count sand hills Well, of course, Sandhill Shift. And the Land Rover that my mum had was originally a soft top, but my dad had put a hard top on it, which was the old blackboard at CATA, which was the coach company. So, of course, we were drawing on the top of the ceiling with chalk, counting sand dunes. But we did have some adventures, and I do remember my brother getting lost one morning. It was quite a tradition that we would, the kids might head off from anywhere and head down the track and get caught up once mum and dad had finished packing. And on this particular morning, my brother headed off and we packed up and drove off and never came across him. And it was quite an unsettling thing. You realise how big the desert is and how fragile we are. And eventually, you know, we went to the top of a very high sandhill and we saw him in the distance. But what had happened is my brother was quite correct. My dad had always taught us, wherever you go, you count the sandhills you'd gone over and count them on the way back. Well, of course, sandhills sometimes diverge and split into two. So he'd counted but hadn't gone the way that we'd come over. So he counted the right number of sandhills. So he'd actually found another track and was off on, you know, there were lots of tracks from the oil well days. And
how many siblings do you have?
I've got two brothers, one older and one younger.
So which one got lost?
The oldest.
And what was the sense of relief when you found him?
Yeah, I guess for me it would have been quite different than what it was for mum and dad, I'm sure. I probably didn't grasp the seriousness of what could have happened. We'd done this our whole lives. The car just caught up.